Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the Hoosier Report live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. It's Friday, which means we're back again tonight for Football Fridays here on the Big X Sports Radio. We've got a number of things that we'll be doing for Friday night football this week. One of our feature games is the Red Devils of Jeffersonville at Madison tonight. It should be an opportunity perhaps for a competitive game and maybe for Jeffersonville to pick up its second win of the season. Week 7 of high school football tonight. We'll have some correspondents out at other games. We'll have call-in reports from games that we don't have play-by-play opportunities from. I'll be in studio with Lee Kelly. We'll have constant scoreboard updates throughout the evening to keep you posted with everything going on. And of course, when everything is done tonight, we've got the Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show presented by Extreme Nasium in Clarksville. That's where we have on victorious coaches, media members, and more to recap everything that happens tonight in high school football. So whether you're going to a game, not going to a game, real easy to keep up with everything in Clark and Floyd County football if you tune in, starting with the kickoff show tonight in the 6 o'clock hour here on the Big X Sports Radio. It's Hoosier Hysteria tomorrow in Bloomington. Yes, practices have already been underway, officially begun, but this is kind of the kickoff, the way I see it, the way a lot of fans see it, to the season, and should be a lot of fun tomorrow. Some shooting competitions, slam dunk competition, a brief scrimmage for the men's team. You get to hear from Archie Miller and Coach Morin of the women's program as well. Kids can get autographs after the game. And probably the neatest thing outside of the scrimmage is Calbert Cheney coming back to be honored, to be recognized. That should be a lot of fun to have him in the house. And then, of course, recruiting. We're going to go through the list of visitors, at least known visitors at this point. It's going to play a big part in Hoosier Hysteria. It's an opportunity to do a lot of what happens on normal recruiting visits, seeing the campus, meeting with the coaches, academic personnel, living quarters, everything that you'd want to know. But this time, the fans are there, and they're going to be hyped and ready. And I don't know if the crowd will be like it was last year with all the excitement of Romeo being a freshman, but it's always an event that attracts a good crowd, really a great crowd for what it is. And so that will help with the recruiting aspect of things tomorrow as well. But a big day, Hoosier Hysteria kicks off. That hopefully should help fill the void since we have no IU football this week with a bye week. Then once we get through Hoosier Hysteria, it'll die down just a bit, but not for long, because 3 weeks or so down the line, you've got Indiana's lone exhibition game, and then, of course, the start of the regular season. There's also a secret scrimmage coming up down the line as well. We won't get to see that or hear much about that, I wouldn't think, but there'll be some tidbits, I'm sure, that slip out. And the season is what I'm getting at. The season is almost here. So tomorrow should be fun. I know a lot of people planning to go. And I hope for a good crowd. It's been a special event traditionally for IU over the years, and I think last year was just fantastic. In addition to Romeo Langford being there and the extra fans and the excitement that brought in to IU for the season, Indiana as a program, Indiana as an athletic department or marketing or whoever responsible for it, took a step up last year with some on-the-court graphics that were outstanding, just really, really cool stuff, and I'm sure they'll have that somewhat in effect tomorrow for Hoosier Hysteria as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines by Zaxby's for this Friday, October 4th. We'll take a look at Hoosier Hysteria visitors, some official visits, some unofficial visits, and there will be plenty of unknown visitors as far as guys that we know who they are, but maybe we didn't know they were going to be at the event. You could expect a lot of younger players. If it's like any years in the past or most years in the past, there'll be some younger players there in addition to some of the key guys as well. Romeo Langford in the headlines segment today. We'll talk about him hopefully finally getting into live practices and live work in Boston. We'll talk more about that because they play on Sunday. I'm not sure what the turnaround will be with him in that game, but we'll talk about that. And a college commitment for a local player, Ethan English, a 2018 graduate of Jeffersonville, the baseball program, a really good prospect, and he's got a good opportunity to play Division I college baseball. So we'll tell you about that coming up in the headline segment as well. Later in the program, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call stops by, an in-depth conversation on recapping Big Ten Media Day earlier this week. We'll talk some about Hoosier Hysteria and what he'll be looking for as a guy that follows the Hoosiers year in, game out. You don't want to get too overly worked up over a brief scrimmage or over some shooting exhibitions, but you know, what will we look for? What are some things that he will look for to judge this Indiana team at an early point before the first game, before the exhibition game? We'll talk to him about that and a lot more a little bit later in the program. Then later in the show, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star is with us. Maybe a little football, some basketball, recruiting, and etc. with Kyle when he joins us later in the program as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's. And want to start with Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek. He had another visitor at Silver Creek yesterday to watch the Dragons practice and to watch Trey work out. It was University of Kentucky assistant coach Joel Justice. So you could now say Kentucky beginning to get a little bit more serious with Trey Kaufman. That's no surprise there. His recruiting is expanding and I think is expected to expand even more with local programs and beyond. Will he attract some of the other blue blood programs, the Dukes or North Carolinas? Who knows? That's still a possibility, I would think. But Kentucky in to watch him yesterday at Silver Creek High School. So you could add the Wildcats. I don't think I've seen a scholarship offer yet, but you can add them to the list of schools that are at least interested in Trey Kaufman. You can expect them to watch him through this high school season. And again, it would not surprise me if he gets a scholarship offer from Kentucky. I don't know their needs as a team or their recruiting class above or his current class, the 2021 class, but it would not surprise me if down the road a bit he does land a scholarship offer from Kentucky as well. Other headlines today brought to you by Zaxby's, Hoosier Hysteria visitors, Christian Lander, official visit. That probably is the headline visitor of the weekend. He was at Louisville last week. He's got a boatload of colleges that want to get him on campus and that are recruiting him, and the guard from Evansville Wrights will be on campus in an official capacity, at least for his junior season, and that's a huge visit this weekend. Also interesting that IU is going to get official visits by Trey Galloway from Culver Academies and Anthony Leal from Bloomington South in the 2020 class. Those guys obviously are already committed to the IU program. So they will be there with Christian Lander, with some of the unofficial visitors as well, to hopefully lead the way. These guys know a lot of players. The players all have played with, against each other, even some of the younger grades as well. They know each other well, and you can bet that Archie Miller will rely on two already committed players to maybe help lead the charge with some of the other targets that will be on campus this weekend, especially Christian Lander of Evansville Wrights. Unofficial visits We know that Trey Kaufman will be there. I mentioned he had a UK assistant coach in yesterday to watch him. He had a Stanford coach earlier in the week, or last week, I should say, to watch him at Silver Creek, but he will be on the IU campus. He was already there a few weeks ago for a football game as an official visit. I'm assuming that's why this is the unofficial, but he will be part of the festivities on Saturday at Hoosier Hysteria. Also, Caleb First of Fort Wayne Blackhawk. He's a 2021 player as well. And I'm not sure that there's been near the buzz coming out of the summer for Caleb First to Indiana like maybe what there has been for Trey Kaufman or even Christian Lander. He seems to be a prospect that obviously is interested in Indiana. Obviously, they're interested in him. They've been up to Blackhawk to watch him this fall. But I don't know that the buzz exists. It could be because we're not in northern Indiana. We're in southern Indiana. And obviously, everybody asks about Trey Kaufman. Everybody wants to know about him. And, of course, Christian Lander is just an hour and a half down the road to the west. But Caleb First will be on campus this weekend with Trey Kaufman. Jaden Brewer as well, another in-state player. He's a 2021 guard at Avon High School, which is in the Indianapolis metropolitan area. I don't know a lot about him, but I know he is an intriguing prospect that has drawn the interest of a number of college programs. Don't know if he's got a long list of scholarship offers from mid-majors at this point. I'm not sure that he has any high major offers, but another name just to watch and see how he develops in the 2021 class as a junior for the high school basketball season that begins coming up here in a month and a half or so. There will be other visitors as well. Probably even would not surprise me if there was an older, a 2020 or 2021 visitor that we don't know about right now. And there will definitely would be shocked if there's not a good handful of younger prospects from around the state that make the trip to Bloomington in the event, whether it be with their family as an unofficial visit or with their high school coach as an unofficial visit. But this has always been a great recruiting weekend for Indiana. Going back a few years ago, I can remember Romeo Langford. Obviously, that was maybe the biggest recruiting moment at Hoosier Hysteria since Cody Zeller, and was definitely on that level, if not exceeding that level of him being on campus for that event. But it's always been a big recruiting event. Yes, there are some headline recruits each year that kind of take the publicity away from it, or that get all the publicity, I should say. But there also are a number of guys in attendance that this might be their first trip to Indiana. They might be a younger player that just has been watched a little bit, or their name is known by the staff, and so they get asked to come. And this can be a wow factor to them as their recruiting could, you know, potentially heat up down the road. There will be a lot of young players, I'm assuming, at Hoosier Hysteria this year per normal. Romeo Langford is our next Zaxby's headline. He's still not participated in live action drills now that training camp is underway. This time it's due to a groin injury, but Coach Stevens spoke yesterday and said that he could be cleared for contact as early as today, Friday. And, of course, the Celtics have their first preseason game on Sunday. So everybody wants to know, A, how to watch the game. We've talked about that on NBA League Pass. You can buy the Celtics package or you can buy the NBA package overall. And, B, people want to know, hey, if he's not played in live practice stuff, live scrimmage stuff, is he going to play in an exhibition game on Sunday? I don't know the answer to that. I would say if he gets into live action stuff today in practice, maybe there's a chance he gets some minutes, maybe not what he normally will get in preseason games on Sunday, but who knows? Obviously, it's been a tough go for Romeo. The thumb injury we're all aware of that kept him out of summer league, that really limited what he could do since he's been in Boston, to be quite honest. But now that he's back and been healthy from that for a couple of weeks, a tweak in his groin, and it could be live today, we hope, any day for sure. But Romeo Langford, we think nearing health. We thought he was healthy. And again, a small groin injury isn't the end of the world. But let's hope that he gets healthy and gets a great opportunity in a very healthy way to start the season and see what type of role and playing time that he can earn for this Boston team. Another headline today brought to you by Zaxby's is Jeffersonville baseball product Ethan English. He was a graduate in the class of 2018. Very interesting recruiting. I can remember as the Red Devils playing in the postseason that year, he was already committed to NAIA Indiana Wesleyan baseball program, which is where he played his freshman year. But even though he was committed there, He was getting interest from Louisville and Purdue and other Division I programs that were taking notice about the big close he had to his high school baseball career. He went on to play at Indiana Wesleyan, although he missed the first 17 games of the season, still had a solid year. Then he went to junior college this past season at John Logan in Illinois, and that's where he's at right now. He'll play this spring at John Logan and finish up year number two of junior college. But he committed over the weekend to TCU, Texas Christian University, and he'll be there obviously not this spring but the following spring once he completes his time at John A. Logan Junior College, again in Illinois. So another local baseball guy getting a Division I opportunity. Speaking of local baseball stuff, Tucker Bivin of New Albany, number two, I saw in a prep baseball report ranking of players in his class. Baseball has been good in this area. Lots of college prospects, a couple guys like Josh Rogers and Drew Ellis that have went on to play minor league, and of course Josh getting an opportunity to play Major League Baseball and pitch in a handful of games. And then you've got a wave of younger players coming as well. There are some good names at Jeffersonville. There's some good names at Providence, good names at Silver Creek as well. Holden Grower was committed to Indiana but decommitted a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, but still getting a lot of Division I interest from baseball programs for him. So another wave, another great wave of players moving through the area, it looks like, this spring and beyond. And Ethan English, another alumni of the area and of Jeffersonville, who will go on to play Division I baseball. That's a look at the headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Don't forget high school football tonight starting at 6 o'clock with our Kentuckiana High School kickoff show. Lee Kelly joins me. We'll preview the big games on both sides of the river, although a lot of the Louisville games, specifically with most of the public schools, were played last night because they don't have football tonight. So we'll preview some of the big games. We'll take a look at the results from last night as well. And, of course, in our area, to quickly run through the schedule for you in Week 7 of high school football. That's right, Week 7 of high school football. Seymour is at New Albany, Jeffersonville at Madison, Silver Creek at North Harrison, Floyd Central on the road at Jennings County. Providence, they host Mitchell. Tough one for Clarksville as they host Brownstown. Charlestown goes to Cordon, and Rock Creek has a tough one as well. They are at North Davies. That's a look at the local teams and where they will be tonight in high school football. We'll have scores and updates from lots of different games, so we'll rotate it around the area with our roving coverage as we normally do. The Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show after tonight with coaches, interviews, media interviews, and more, presented by Extremnasium in Clarksville. Make sure you're with us tonight if you like high school football. 5+ hours of local high school football coverage tonight on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a break. When we come back, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with me. We'll talk Hoosier hysteria, the importance it is to recruiting, what to expect at the event itself, and a little bit about Big Ten Media Days, Devontae Green, Al Durham. Those are all topics on the board with Jared when we come back after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us Fridays as we talk IU basketball. And this is an especially exciting Friday for IU basketball fans with Hoosier hysteria set for Saturday afternoon in Bloomington. Jared, this is kind of the official start, at least for the fan portion of the season. This is the official countdown from Hoosier hysteria to the exhibition game and to the start of the season. and lots of reasons for everyone to celebrate that basketball season is finally here, although there are plenty of question marks that we can talk about with this team between Hoosier hysteria and the official start of the season with games. A lot of that coming out of Big Ten Media Day, coming out of IU Media Day. Different players, how are they going to fit in? What roles are they going to adapt to? How will some of the newcomers be? Lots of moving pieces, I think it's safe to say, fair to say, with this IU team this season.
Yeah, there really are, you know, and as we get closer to the season, you know, I find myself getting more and more excited about it just getting here and starting to get some answers to all these questions that we have. I was in a conversation with someone last night about, you know, there are a lot of question marks about this team. And I think, as you and I have talked about, you know, in previous weeks, legitimate reasons why, you know, some of the preseason prognostications aren't as high on Indiana. And I can understand those. But, you know, I also think that there are a lot of really good players on this roster. And, you know, if the chemistry is right and if they can kind of fit those pieces together and you get, you know, some next steps forward from some of your upperclassmen and, the freshmen are ready to play. And if a lot of those things happen, this can be a really good team. So, you know, it's all theoretical in the off season, and we all habitually talk ourselves into the idealized versions of the team. But, you know, as we get closer and closer, I'm excited to see these guys get on the court and kind of see what we have and see how they come together. Because I think it's got a chance to be a surprisingly positive season.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to talk more about the team for this season, some of the storylines coming out of Big Ten Media Day here in just a few moments. But when you think about Hoosier hysteria, and I know it's an event that over the years you've been to many times covering the event, also as a fan as well, what do you look for? I know the scrimmage at times has been longer and it seems to be more brief nowadays, and we expect it to be fairly brief tomorrow afternoon as well. But in that brief scrimmage, in the shooting contest, in the things that Archie Miller says to the fans, with all the recruits there, of course, that is such a huge part of the day. What do you look for from an event like that that's really built for the fans, it's built for excitement, it's not necessarily built to give you an in-depth look at all the team and who's going to play what position and how many minutes here and there? That's really not what this is about. But what do you try to glean, or what will you try to learn about this team in a short scrimmage and in some of the activities that go on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important to enter an event like this with the right context, which is that, you know, it's not, as you said, you know, it's not, you don't want to look too deeply into what happens in the shooting contest and the dunk contest and any of that, and even the scrimmage. It's fun, but you don't want to put too much stock into it. I mean, it's an event for recruits and it's an event for fans. And so I think it's always interesting to see, you know, what recruits are on their official visits on, you know, Hoosier Hysteria weekend. And, you know, it's not like you watch them to see their reaction during the event, but obviously to hear, you know, how that goes afterwards. And then just to see what, you know, what they have planned. I mean, last year the laser light show was incredible, you know, and I think a lot of the schools that Indiana wants to compete with on a national level, you know, they use this opportunity to pull out all the bells and whistles and really invest a lot of money in making it an exciting event, you know, with a lot of things going on. And so I think seeing how Indiana approaches it from a production standpoint, and from an entertainment standpoint, I think will be interesting. You know, I expected, you know, them to do a lot like what they did last year. And obviously, you know, this year's is extra special because Calvert Chaney, my personal favorite Hoosier, is being honored now because he's going into the College Basketball Hall of Fame this year. So I'm certainly looking forward to what will have to be one of the greatest highlight videos ever put together, if you're going to try and compile all of Calvert's highlights into one video. So, you know, I look for stuff like that. And then, you know, when the scrimmage does actually come, you know, to me, the most interesting thing is seeing the new guys, just seeing how they look for the first time. You know, like last year, seeing Romeo out there, seeing a guy like Jerome Hunter. You know, we actually got to see him play last year because that was before, you know, he was out. So I think seeing him get back on the court, you know, seeing, you know, how a guy like Race Thompson looks, who we haven't gotten to see a lot of, you know, Trace and Joe and Armand, obviously. So that's always interesting. But again, you know, they're not out there very long. For some of those guys, it's their first time in front of the Simon Scott Assembly Hall crowd, so there might be some jitters. So you don't put much stock into it. That said, we are doing a post-Hoosier hysteria show, so we will be analyzing it and probably putting way too much stock into it. So I need to remind myself of everything that I just said when we get on there for the post-event show. But, you know, even that, it's just kind of for fans and just to have fun, give us a reason to talk about the team. But no, you just want to see enthusiasm. I think that's the most important thing. Enthusiasm from the fans, enthusiasm from the guys getting a chance to be out there together, you know, more so than, you know, than really expecting crisp execution or great shot making.
Jared Morris with the Assembly Call, our guest talking IU basketball. I guess for me, I'm just curious to see if Jerome Hunter does, I mean, I'm sure he's going to participate in the event, but does he play in the short scrimmage that we're expecting on Saturday? You know, that would be, to me, a good sign. I know it's been announced already that he's cleared to play in all basketball and related activities, but just seeing him out there, to me, and whether it's a couple trips up and down the floor or whether he were to play the whole scrimmage, it would, to me, A, be a really good thing for him, and B, be a good thing for the program, and C, maybe give a small glimpse into where he's at right now, getting back in basketball condition and getting just back out there after a long, long period of not being on the floor with the team.
Yeah, I agree, and I would expect him to play. I think it would be a major red flag if he doesn't participate in the scrimmage, you know, and that wouldn't at all match everything that we've heard. So I would expect him to be there, and you know, it's also fun, you know, just when the players get introduced, you know, just to kind of hear the eruptions, hear the ovations, you know, hearing just the loud ovation that Romeo got last year, which was obviously expected. You know, I would expect a guy like Jerome, you know, who didn't get a chance to play and fans have, you know, just anticipated so much. You know, I'm sure when he gets, you know, introduced that, you know, he'll get a really loud ovation, you know, and deservedly so. So, you know, those little moments are also fun. But, yeah, you know, he was impressive in last year's Hoosier Hysteria. And so hopefully he's able to get out there again. And really, you know, for a guy like him, I think that can actually be, you know, a relatively useful moment just to get back out playing competitive basketball in front of a crowd again, because that's really the last time he did it was at last year's Hoosier Hysteria, you know. And so, you know, some of those things, you know, it feels like we've talked about him so much, but he's, you know, still a freshman who hasn't played any games, you know, and so he's, you know, still, you know, probably getting comfortable in those kind of environments. And so I think it'll be, you know, just a good experience again for him to get out there and, you know, shake off, you know, the first little bit of rust that he needs to shake off.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, our guest. Big Ten Media Day a few days ago in Chicago. Very interesting to hear the takes of the head coaches, not only on their teams, but on this movement, I think it's safe to call it now, to see players be allowed to be paid for their likeness and for their image in college sports, which seems to be picking up momentum from lots of different states. And it was curious to hear what the different Big Ten coaches, what their takes were on that. Thought Archie Miller, we talked about this some yesterday, I thought Archie Miller's take was maybe one of the more leaning toward being good with it, being interested in it takes that the coaches had. I'm curious where Jared Morris's take on the name and likeness ability for players in college sports to take advantage of. Where do you stand with that?
Yeah, I think it's time to allow it. You know, I think it's really important. Some of the conversations that get had about this topic, they don't seem to quite understand how this will affect things. Like, this doesn't mean that the universities, the programs, are going to pay players directly. This means that players can profit from their name, image, likeness in, you know, in other ways. So they could get endorsement deals, or, you know, they could sign autographs, or, you know, whatever different ways that they would be able to do it. And so it's a way for them to earn money based on the market value that they have outside of extra compensation coming from the universities. And so I think that's an important point to make, you know, as you look at this. And look, I do think it's going to cause a lot of complications. You know, there will probably be unintended consequences, and it's not going to be a perfect rollout, and there will be issues and there will be problems with it. And I think it needs to be done with a good plan. But just because something is complicated and something will be new and something could have unintended consequences, if it's the fair and just thing to do, then I think it should be done. And in this case, I think it is. I don't see a good reason, you know, other than the NCAA wanting to preserve this kind of nebulous notion of amateurism, why you wouldn't do this. And I think there has to be a way, you know, to do it in a way that's reasonable. And yes, you know, I think one of the big arguments you hear is, oh my goodness, well, you know, the Kentuckys and the Kansases and the North Carolinas, and to a certain extent, the Indianas of the world, you know, that have, you know, big support, have the big resources and all of that, you know, they're going to really benefit from this. And, you know, yeah, but that's, you know, to a certain extent, that will probably be true, but that's also no different than how things are right now. I mean, there is kind of a clear hierarchy where certain programs have more resources than others. And I just think this is a way to redistribute some of those resources, directly to the players, as opposed to, a company or an individual, donating it directly to the athletic department. Now maybe it'll go to the player because they can pay them for an appearance or whatever it is. I just think it seems like the fair and just thing to do. And I think it's time to just figure out the right way to implement it. Understand that you're going to have to iterate, that the first plan probably will be, not very good and will be imperfect and will need changes. But, the fear of that is not a reason to not do it.
Yeah, I agree. Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, our guest. Let's continue on with some other topics that were brought up at Big Ten Media Day. One of those, obviously, Devontae Green. Lots of questions to Archie Miller about Devontae. And Devontae there himself as a senior and a co-captain on this team. Where do you stand with Devontae Green as captain of this team and as somebody that it sure looks like in this preseason time is being built up both by Coach Miller, by fans and others for a big role this season? We saw great Devontae last year. We saw good Devontae last year. And to be quite honest, we saw bad Devontae last year. Now he's a captain on this team and a senior on this team and is going to need to be, it sure looks like, one of the key scorers if this team is going to best some of the expectations out there preseason for them in the conference.
Well, Matt, last night on Assembly Call Radio, I made my position on Devontae Green quite clear when I accepted the position of president of the Devontae Green fan club. So, which really, is just kind of the inevitable conclusion to this offseason where, I've just found myself, I didn't necessarily go into it saying like, okay, let's find all the reasons why, Devontae Green being the leader of this team is going to work. But as I started to look at things and you started to, read about him and read about the development and look into the numbers and kind of just look back on maybe why things have gone the way they've gone over the last 3 years, a lot of things started to add up to me that made sense for why, a big senior season breakout for him, could be likely. And look, we don't know for sure, and he's been inconsistent, and it's always a little nerve-wracking to say anything with certainty when it comes to Devontae. But to me, him being named captain by his teammates kind of sealed the deal. Because, look, this is a guy that, last year in the middle of the season was suspended. And, I was having conversations with people about, will he be part of this program next year? And he bounced back from that, finished off the season well. He's obviously, done all the work that he's needed to do in the offseason, impressed his teammates enough. I mean, you're not going to fool your teammates. They're not going to vote you captain, because they're wishing for it to be true or for any other reason other than they think that you deserve it. And so that shows me that he's really a guy that kind of gets it a little bit more now. And his comments even suggest that. He talked about how the suspension – really kind of made him realize what he had and made him appreciate the position that he had. And I just think he's been a guy who has really not known what his role is for 3 years. It's kind of been yanked back and forth. He hasn't found a comfort zone. He's playing now for a coach that didn't recruit him. Obviously, that relationship has been a little bit uneasy. But when you hear, Devontae talk about Archie and Archie talk about Devontae, they really seem to have a comfort level with each other. And Archie, I think, look, to a certain extent, his hand is kind of forced by the roster that he has. But also, I think Archie has always seen something in Devontae, and that now, as a senior, he's essentially saying he's giving him a green light. He's giving him a lot of rope. He's putting him in a position to just be that scoring guard, not have to worry about being the point guard because Al's going to back up, Rob at the point guard. Go be a playmaker. Do what you do best. I've got your back. If you make a mistake, it's fine. You're not going to get yanked from the game. If you play hard and try and do the right thing, I've got your back. And when I think Devontae as a player and even just as a person, when you just kind of look at his history and understand his psychology a little bit, I think that's really what he needs. And so to me, all those things are adding up to where his talent and his ability, which is vast, I don't think anybody doubts that, I think it can really be unlocked. But it's all theoretical right now. We have to actually see it happen. But I am in front, driving that train. I really believe in the Devontae breakout this year. And I think it has to happen for this Indiana team to reach the levels where we want it to. But I'm buying in, and I'm ready to see it start.
Jared, were you surprised to see Al Durham join Devontae is basically a co-captain for this upcoming year. He had, you know, some good moments last year as well, and then some other times where not as much. But he's someone that from the moment, and I remember I met him at King of the Bluegrass, which is a holiday tournament just across the river from us here in Louisville. And he had just, I think at that time, just committed to Indiana, and interviewed him for this show in the back hallway there out in front of the locker rooms after his team, I think, had even lost the game. And I thought, boy, this guy here has some personality. I had no idea at that point how he would fit in on the IU roster as a freshman, or let alone as a captain a few years into his career. But I knew one thing, he could talk, he could handle the media, he could handle some of those things, and he likely would be a good communicator with his team. That was very clear to me going all the way back to his high school days. Are you surprised to see him be a captain at this kind of somewhat early point of his career still, or where do you stand on that? And how important will he be in your eyes to the team this season?
I was surprised for the first instant when I saw it, only because, you know, I think we've all kind of been conditioned to expect seniors to be named captains. But once I spent like 5 seconds thinking about it, it made perfect sense. Because actually, when you look at all of the upperclassmen, he's probably the one that has been the most captain-like so far. So it makes a lot of sense. I mean, and he is a guy who, I think through his first 2 years, has shown a lot of leadership ability, certainly by example, because his, you know, his work ethic is tireless. We've all heard about that. We saw him last year come out of his shell a little bit and really start to be more of a vocal leader on the court for a team that really didn't have a lot of that. And, you know, he's got one of the things that I think is the most important for a leader and that can often be a little bit underrated and overlooked, which is just enthusiasm. He's just a guy who likes being where he is. He appreciates what he has being an Indiana basketball player. You know, he just seems like a guy who really loves being at Indiana and kind of understands what it means. You know, and it's kind of an argument against everybody who thinks that you have to have Indiana guys to do that, and you certainly want a mix. But, you know, here's a guy that was a sub, you know, 200 recruit in, you know, from Atlanta, Georgia, that is, you know, as much a Hoosier as anybody. And so I think when you have a guy that sets that example and that has improved so much, and that, you know, you need your leaders to be guys who play and produce. And Al's going to be that guy. He's not going to be the leading scorer, probably. He's not the best defender, but he's, you know, he's good at everything. And I think that's a big step for him. Is, you know, he's a guy who in the past has had some games that, you know, where he just kind of doesn't really get into the flow, you know, and scores 0 or 2 points and doesn't really make an impact. I think that's going to be important for him as an upperclassman. Now, as a captain, he can't have nights like that. You know, he's got to find ways to impact every single game, even if he's not shooting well, even if he's not in the flow of the offense. And so I think that's a big step for him. But yeah, I think he's, you know, he's the most natural leader of the upperclassmen. And I think it's a really good sign. It'll be a good thing that you have him as a junior kind of taking on this official leadership role, because now he can carry that into next season too. And, you know, for a program that has struggled with internal leadership, but that has really succeeded when it's had it, I think Al can really be that guy over the next couple of years that, you know, is one of the biggest voices and biggest examples for Archie Miller as he tries to kind of rebuild this culture into his vision.
Jared Boris of the Assembly Call, our guest. Jared, want to close with this. Hoosier hysteria is a big time for the fans. And I've always thought, especially, it was a big time for the younger IU fans. Just an enjoyable event with contests and slam dunks and autographs afterwards. And, of course, I think all the adults and everybody looks forward to the brief scrimmage, the brief opportunity we get just to see the players go up and down the floor at Assembly Hall. But it is a huge recruiting event, and we've seen Louisville have their Louisville Live event at 4th Street a couple Fridays ago. I think last Friday, actually, they hosted some big visitors, and it's kind of an upbeat, modern environment down at 4th Street Live in downtown Louisville. We've seen other schools already have their practice, maybe similar to a Hoosier Hysteria format that's open to the public. These are huge deals when it comes to recruiting, because they allow the school to not only showcase the things that they would during any visit, whether it be official or unofficial, but they also allow the program to showcase fans in the building. And not many better preseason events like this will have a better turnout than what Indiana or Louisville or some of the schools that I've named that have these type of events that are highly successful and very well attended every year will have. So this is a huge weekend for Archie Miller and his staff to wine and dine those that are on official visits, to entertain those that are on unofficial visits, and to have even younger players in that maybe haven't reached the level of a high major recruitment, a serious recruitment just yet. And, of course, a lot of representation, I'm sure, from players within the state of Indiana, including some younger guys as well. I don't think that any of us can stress what a big opportunity this is for recruiting each and every year. And as the season is beginning and as practices are now underway and as much as the fans want to see the team for this upcoming season, I'm not so sure that the focus almost from a coaching staff perspective maybe isn't more on recruiting this weekend.
Oh, I definitely think it is. Yeah, and I think that's what it should be. You know, like we talked about, I mean, this is, you know, more, as much a recruiting event as anything. And I think it's especially important for a program like Indiana because right now one of the biggest things Archie Miller has to sell is the tradition and the crazy fan support and how important basketball is. Because, you know, I mean, let's be honest, he hasn't made the NCAA tournament in 3 years. You know, Archie can't really point to anything over his first 2 years in terms of success on the court. You know, he's painting a picture for where things are going to go. And so I think that's one of the things that makes this Hoosier hysteria so important is, you know, you've really got to, you want to impress those young players that, hey, you know, this is a program that, yeah, they've missed the NCAA tournament 3 years in a row, but man, look at the enthusiasm from the fans. Look at the history. They've won here before. They can win here again. I can be part of bringing it back. Like, that's a big part of the pitch. And so, you know, this is not, you know, this is one of those events. I mean, look, I think Indiana fans can have a huge impact every home game, you know, with the kind of atmosphere they can bring to Simon Scott Assembly Hall and, you know, kind of being that sixth man out there. But, you know, this is another really big opportunity for IU fans to have a, you know, a tangible impact on recruiting and on, you know, the message and the pitch that Archie Miller is able to sell to these recruits. So I think, you know, their focus will certainly be there. And I think for fans who are in the building, you know, just because it's not a game doesn't mean that the enthusiasm and the loudness and all of that stuff doesn't make a difference, because I think it certainly will for the recruits who are there. You know, we all need to do our part.
Absolutely. Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, with us Fridays. We talk IU basketball and, of course, lots of excitement heading into Hoosier Hysteria. Jared, it won't be long that we'll be able to talk preview games, recap games, and once we get into the season, the game portion of things, it just moves so quick. I mean, you go from an exhibition game to non-conference games to some big non-conference games, Big Ten play, and that's when it gets really fun. We're almost to that point, and I can't wait. So thanks for being with us each week on Fridays.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. This is a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us on Fridays. Don't forget high school football coverage tonight on the Big X Sports Radio beginning at 6 o'clock. Kyle, the last few weeks we've talked about some different subjects than normal. Normally it's recruiting and basketball and what's going on with some of the top players in the state. But you've done some pieces and we've talked about some other things recently about fans and behavior at games, and you've also had an opportunity recently to catch up with the IHSA Commissioner Bobby Cox and talk about some of these very same topics, including others that dominate the high school landscape today that maybe we wish weren't as dominant as they are, like transfers and things of that nature. So I know you've had a two-part story. I've got part one read. I've still got part two on my list still to read, but some great stuff there that kind of falls in line with other things that we've been talking about outside of the actual games themselves. So I thought maybe I'd open with that today, let you talk a little bit, summarize a little bit of what you learned from the commissioner about some of these same topics that we've been interested in. And, of course, we want to encourage everybody to check out both parts at indystar.com/sports.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I sat down with
Bobby Cox about 2 weeks ago, and we've talked about a lot of these different things, and you know, transfer issues, and you know, just kind of the I try to do this every year and sit down with him and kind of touch base on, you know, some of the hotter topics of what's going on going into the school year, and or early in the school year anyway. And yeah, we talked about you know, the referee issue is definitely one that is kind of an increasingly difficult issue, just with the you know, it's not only Indiana, and I don't want to make it sound like it's just happening here, but because it's all over the place. I saw there was a West Virginia, and you may have talked about this, a West Virginia youth football program that just shut down because the parents and they said increasingly the players were so hard on the referees. And to me, that's just ridiculous that would happen. Where's it all going? I don't know. I mean, I know that the average age, according to Bobby Cox, and I've seen this elsewhere, is going up on referees. And, you know, another issue we talked about was coaches. The average age of coaches is going down, you know, just because of the, you know, the guys who get out of it, you know, after a certain amount of time, they either just get out of it entirely and go just to teaching, or, you know, maybe they just are assistant coaches, or they get into administration, or, you know, get out of education entirely. And that's a whole separate thing, just, you know, because it takes so much time. It's you know, parental problems or pressure they feel, you know, whether it's winning or whatever. You know, that's another, and that's something I'd like to dive into a little bit more too, is just how do you be a coach in 2019 and keep your sanity? You know, that, you know, it's not a new issue, but just the year round stuff, I think, would just about drive you crazy. So, you know, there's a lot of different subjects we talked about, and a lot of people who disagree with what Bobby Cox said on some issues. You know, so I think it's instructive to read what he says and kind of hear where his mind's at with this stuff. And I know that, you know, I also talked about with him about how much longer he's going to do this. And I don't know that it's going to be a whole lot longer. I think he's maybe, you know, he didn't put a time frame on it, but he said he's definitely closer to the end than he can see the light at the end of the tunnel for sure. So, you know, I'm curious how much longer he'll go and who his replacement will be. And I think he's done a good job. I haven't always agreed with everything he's done, but he's taken a hard stance on fighting and, you know, sportsmanship issues, and, you know, the IHSAA has, you know, and I don't always agree with their transfer rules either, or how they decide on transfers, but, you know, other things that they've done that have been important, like the Champions Together program, you know, has been awesome, you know. So I think there's been, like any tenure, I think that there's things that have been really good and maybe things you don't agree with, but I think he's definitely stuck to his guns on a lot of different things and you know, raised the profile of important areas like the Champions Together program definitely in his time.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, and you can read those in-depth stories with the commissioner at indystar.com/sports. And again, Kyle always does great work. We try to highlight it on the program, especially when it's something that stands out, you know, to the audience of high school sports fans, and a lot of recruiting stuff that we talk about. But Kyle, some of those things probably a little bit more important to the longevity and the betterment of the sports and the games and high school sports especially, which still means so much here in Indiana, than some of the other stuff we get into. But I do want to talk some recruiting quickly with you before we wrap up the show today. Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek, locally at least, in our immediate area, is just the player to follow right now. Kentucky in yesterday to watch him at Silver Creek in a workout. He's headed back to Indiana after being there a few weeks ago for an unofficial visit to Hoosier Hysteria tomorrow. And so a lot of activity there. I think, Kyle, I'd like you to look at it from an IU perspective for a moment. If you're evaluating Trey Kaufman as a junior that's getting ready to start his junior season, from an IU perspective, Archie Miller, it appears, has done everything he can do to get Trey Kaufman on campus early and often. He had him a few weeks ago for an official, already back for an unofficial visit, so he does get to take part in the special event that Hoosier Hysteria is. I know IU fans, oh my gosh, Kentucky was there, oh my gosh, other schools are getting involved, but sometime it's about laying that groundwork early, and Indiana sure, it appears, has done that with Trey Kaufman.
Yeah, for sure, and I think, Archie Miller's reputation of recruiting in-state players is really good. I mean, so I don't think you can, diminish what he's done there, and by getting in early on guys like, not only Trey Kaufman, but Christian Lander, guys who are, kind of carrying the flag for that 2021 class in the state, and IU seems to be in pretty good position, although I know Lander was at Louisville, and that's definitely a looks like a clear option for him as well. But I think with Kaufman, he's been there, he's going to be there again Saturday. So you've kind of you put in the groundwork ahead of time, and hopefully you once these other schools come in like Kentucky and others who are going to be after Kaufman, they're kind of trying to play catch up, and that's kind of the position you want to be in. With a highly regarded in-state guy like that, you've done the work to establish relationships and really try to get after it and show him that he's a top priority, which he is. So I'm hoping to get down there myself here in the near future and talk with Trey a little bit more about where he stands on everything and just kind of write about him a little more. But I think IU's in a pretty good spot with him.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, with us Fridays. Kyle, thanks for the chat. As always, great to catch up, and look forward to it again next week.
Okay, sounds good, Matt. Thanks.
That's going to wrap things up for this Friday program. Again, our high school football coverage begins tonight at 6 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll be roving around the area, giving you some red zone light coverage on the radio. I'll be in studio with scoreboard updates, hosting our programming tonight. We have the kickoff show to get you ready for the games at 6 o'clock, and we have the scoreboard show presented by Extremnasium in Clarksville after the games to recap all of the happenings of week seven, of high school football here in the area. Also, speaking of Trey Kaufman, I did see where it is now confirmed that he will take an unofficial visit to Kentucky for Big Blue Madness on October 11th. I believe that is next Friday night. So a visit now set after the UK assistant at Silver Creek yesterday. Hope you can catch us tonight for high school football. Have a great weekend. I'll be back with you Monday on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.